For the last couple of chaburas, we spoke about the big issues in terms of the meatiest issues in terms of hilchos tzedakah, the issues that come up frequently and are the major shailas that there's a lot of discussion around. The question of how much you give, and then the question of how to give. How much you give was the question of the minimum shlishus hashekel, as well as larger numbers, master and chomesh, and where they come from and how you compute them, as well as thinking about the other way of looking at how much, which was from the point of view not of how much the giver is giving, but what the needs are, the ideal of giving de machsoro when possible. Those really sort of two questions of how much total my budgeting out of my salary or my profit, and how much am I giving to any given need? Which brings us to the second major question, which was determining how you allocate the funds, or how those two questions fit together, the two types of how much, and how you allocate the funds that you have available for tzedakah giving among the various needs. That was the question of kedimus in tzedakah. And we also had some discussion about how to give. So in terms of the sensitivity to the ani in the process of giving, different types of matan b'seser, giving via gabai, or the giver doesn't know who the receiver is, or the receiver doesn't know who the giver is, and so on and so forth. The incredible significance of giving b'sefer panim yavos. Let's spend some time on how that's so incredibly significant, which feeds as well into Reish from Chesed Ches. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the idea of kol chelav, of giving the finest, the hevel versus kayin, giving of the finest of what one has for tzedakah and for other maasei mitzvah. But there are the marmakomas I handed around last week, marmakomas number 4. So the first issue was just a list of some of the smaller topics that come up over the course of these opening simanim, these first 5 simanim. Some of them were details, further details were under these headings. That's the Ani HaMechazer HaOpsachim, and a further detail of how much, some further details about the issues of kedimus, and some further details like Kol Chelav about the manner of giving. But then there are some other smaller and practical and fundamental issues that came up that don't necessarily fit into these three big categories we discussed so far of how much, to whom, and how. One was a Gemara in Bava Basra of Yerim Ralph, quoted in Siman Reish Mem Tes Se'if Yudalev. And that is a Gemara derives from a Pasuk. How does Shulchan Aruch say it? Tovli te'impruta la'ani kodim kol tfila. It's appropriate to give at least a little bit, even if it's just a pruta, to give something to the ani in advance of every tfila. Shene'emar ani b'tzedek echeze panecha. To present oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of tzedek. To come to daven in the context of having given tzedakah. And then there's a lot of discussion about details. The Shach says, even better than giving, handing it directly to Anani, the Shach writes of Kat Yud, even better would be to put it into a Kupa Shal Tzaka, to put it into the Pushka. After all, that's based on what we just mentioned before, the Rambam Shmona Milos, the fact that the Gemara in Bava Basra says, Matan Beseser is a superior type of Tzaka. So better than to hand the Pruta to the Ani directly before I daven, to put it into the Kupa Shal Tzaka, that's Matan Beseser. No Sin Makabal, don't see who the other is. So that's a more ideal form of tzedakah. Presumably that's why the Shach writes, kol shekein, that would be adif tvei. Even better to use a pushka. And then there's other discussion. You look in the tzedakah mishpat, and he has a very, very rich footnote. This is the very beginning. This is Perek Aleph Os Beis. So it was a footnote to Hey, I believe. He has a long discussion with a lot of details that come from that Rizal, the Daf Kashachras and Mincha, yes, but Marv not, Al Pi Kabbalah. He has a long Staka Mishpat, Kosa Mishnah Berurah, and others about the propriety or impropriety of collecting money during davening. Shachar was talking about giving money before davening. But in the middle of Kriya Shema, in the middle of Shemana Esrei, in the middle of Kriya Satorah, so that's a disturbance going on in davening. So that's a big discussion in Poskim. But certainly, ideally, one should encourage that if Aniyim are coming out to collect, ideally we should encourage them to collect, and we should seek to give to them in either in advance of the start of davening, or some quote this minhag specifically in the context of Vayivarech David. Yeah. Right? And then more details. But the larger question is why? What's this all about? Stock is a mitzvah and tefillah is a mitzvah. Both very important mitzvahs. Good. But ma'in zeh tzozeh. What does one have to do with the other? And should we try to do Bikur Cholim before you dive in? Certainly, doing Bikur Cholim is a fine idea. That is a fine idea. But is there a value to doing Bikur Cholim before you dive in as opposed to later in the day? What's with tzedakah in particular? Tzedakah and tefillah, how do those two connect? Any more than saying, these are both mitzvahs, we should seek to do both. But the Gemara makes a point, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes that agarata as a din, not a requirement, but a halachic recommendation. So mikra ze omer darsheni. Ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. What's that all about? Why? And then another why. Another why is earlier in Siman Reish Mem Tes. Sif Hey. Im yocho le'asos la'achirim shiyutenu sicharo gadol mischar hanosein. If I can encourage others to give, I'll have even more schar than they will. The fundraiser gets more schar than the donor. It's a Gemara in Bava Basra. That's a blot earlier in Daf Tes. Godol ha-me'asa yoser min ha-osa. They have to be careful with the kudos there. Mem ayin sin hey looks like ma'isa. But it's not godol ha-ma'asa yoser min ha-osa. It doesn't mean the act is greater than the actor. It's godol ha-me'asa. That's appeal. If I cause you to act, it's greater, and Shulchan Aruch translates greater schar than the one who actually does the giving. Which is a little counterintuitive. I encourage you to give. The value of what I did is that it got you to give. Apparently, giving is very important. Tzedakah is such a mitzvah. Again, the opening Siman Reish Mem Zayin, the Torah and the base, and Shulchan Aruch have a lot about the chashivus of tzedakah. Such a great mitzvah. Not only did you take part in the mitzvah, but I encouraged you to take part in the mitzvah. But how can my schar is greater than your schar?
Oh, is that you know when you'll get by stuff? Let's say I get someone from the film, do I get?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question also. So how does that how does that play out? So the Achronim have different approaches to this question. Achronim on Daf Tes and Bava Basra, looking at the Chevron and Mara Makomas. Chevron and Shira put a Mara Makomas on the Bava Basra, so they quote a wide array. I'll share with you three. Yecheskel, they quote from Yecheskel Abramsky, author of the Chazon Yecheskel, the Gedolei Torah of the mid-20th century. So he said, the fellow, the donor, is giving money, but the fundraiser is giving time. And time is even more valuable than money. Clearly a man who uses time well. Peter Drucker writes that as well, a different context. Time is the most valuable of all resources. You can't recycle. You can never generate more. It's absolutely not fungible. There's no way to compensate. You'll have time later, you hope, but that doesn't make up for the time you have now, or that you use well or poorly. That's something that Bali Musa talk about often. So Yecheskel Abramsky suggested that's the makar. That's the yesod, excuse me, of this idea. I gave time. You gave money, and I gave time. So the spending time is even more valuable than spending money. As an aside, I mentioned to some of you that in the AOJS, in the Association of Orthodox Jewish Scientists, in their work on Namas HaKsafim, so they sat down with a number of Gedolei HaPoskim to work through different shilas and also stuck in Namas HaKsafim. And one of the issues, when you talk about Namas HaKsafim, when you talk about this, but it relates actually to this, one of the shilas, they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman 20 or 30 shilas. One of them was about time. Can I give time towards my Master Ksaf? I have a Master Ksaf in debt. I know I earned a certain amount of money over the course of the past year, and then as we discussed last time, you subtract all the costs of making money, deduct that, so I'm left with a certain net profit. Over the course of the past year, I made X. So now I have a debt that's stuck, my Master Ksaf in debt, of 10% of X. So I could give it in cash. How about if I want to pay part of it off with time? So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that if my time is billable, so then I should be allowed to count 9/10 of it. 9/10 of it? I believe it's 9/10 of it. Towards my successful. And there's, if I bill $300 an hour, and so I could have charged for that. I did work, which I would normally charge by the hour. If I'm in an industry where I charge by the hour for my services, so I would have charged $300. So Shlomo Zalman says, you can't say that the entire $300 is my success. Doesn't cancel $300 towards my success, because had I charged $300, had you paid me $300 for that hour, I would have then turned around and said, my success and give 30 tzedakah. Right? So I would have netted 270. So by doing it pro bono, that extra 270, 90% of what that time was worth, could be considered a gift towards my success. Interesting idea. Not just giving of time, but giving of professional time in a situation where my professional time would normally bill by the hour. So in that case, you have a dentist, a plumber. A plumber does pro bono work for people who can't afford. And as I know, Project Ezra in the Bergen County area, so one of the many stuck enterprises they oversee, they have a slate of professionals in various fields who are willing to give some of their time to provide for people who can't afford their services. And the Project Ezra makes shiduchim. Is a family that can't, that needs a plumbing work and can't afford, needs dental work and can't afford, so they'll put them in touch with a plumber, with a dentist, what have you, who are glad to give of their time. So look, I'm a plumber, I would charge X dollars an hour, and I'm choosing to do it for free. So 90% of that goes to counts towards my success. So again, the concept behind that is what Yerchesk Abramsky is talking about. Again, he's not saying professional time, he's saying, time. Time is an incredibly valuable resource. So that's one approach to thinking about Gadol HaMa'asiyosim and Osir. In that case, it would be interesting to think about, would it have relevance to other mitzvahs or not? The Mari Kurkus, they quote the Mari Kurkus in the bottom of the Rambam, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim and Perkyot, the Gadol HaChavav. See, he writes, we're talking about Hachav Mayaskina, different approach to Gadol HaMa'asiyosim Yosem Ra'osa. The Hachav Mayaskina in a situation where the donor was really not so willing to give tzedakah. And the fundraiser encouraged, until he said, fine. So that's because Mari Kurkus says, that's the situation where things are like Isui, Me'aseh, usually Isui, comes up in halacha context, the end of Maseches Gittin, Isui HaGet, where you coerce a husband to grant his wife a get. Isui usually connotes that we're forcing someone, or at the very least, very vigorously pushing someone to do something. So the Mari Kurkus says, that's the case. If I say, would you like to be part of the tzedakah? You say, sure. That's not Gadol HaMa'asiyosim and Osir. The second approach, that's because the ma'asa is excited to do the mitzvah. He's doing the beratzon, and the osa, the nodev, the donor, we're talking about a situation, the donor is giving bikfia. And then finally, they quote many approaches, but let me just share with you three. Number one is Rechezkel Abramsky, the value of time versus the value of money. Number two, the Mari Kurkus, that we're specifically talking about a situation, Kimta Pshat. We're only talking about a situation where the donor is really unwilling, and so the Maaseh is doing his part, Beratzon, and the Osa is doing his part, Bekfia. That certainly should have relevance to other mitzvahs as well. Although we already have seen that in tzedakah, attitude has a particular significance, the Shmona Miles of the Rambam. Maybe the difference is particularly relevant to tzedakah. And finally, the Chachma Zadon. Chachma Zadon Kuf Mem Daled writes, well, the Maaseh is Gadol Min HaOseh because they both were involved in helping to support this family, this individual who's in need. They both were helping to provide for the Ani. The Maaseh also was Mezakeh, his friend in a mitzvah. In other words, Reuven's Maaseh Shimon, and Shimon turns around and says, okay, I'll donate towards Levi. So both Reuven and Shimon helped Levi. Reuven also helped Shimon, because Reuven provided Shimon with the mitzvah. It's an interesting perspective. And it's a perspective that gets us thinking about the question with which we began our very first Chabur Hilchos Tzedakah, which is the question of the two perspectives on tzedakah, as we just touched on when we started a couple of minutes ago, right? The opening question of how much do you give to this, as we spoke on the opening chabur, the supply side, demand side. And I can think about how much am I giving to a particular ani, and I can think about how much am I going to give. It's saying a donor recipient, the two different perspectives on tzedakah. I think I mentioned at the time that's really a larger question. That's the one we want to get into right now. And we'll loop around to see that will also hopefully help us to make sense of the first prop. From Chacham Zalman's approach to Gadol HaMaaseh Ma'aseh, let's jump into the larger question of the Hagdar of the Mitzvah of Tzedakah. And then we'll loop around to see hopefully how that will bring us back to understand the unique connection between Tzedakah and Tefillah. But first, question.
To what extent do we say that the one who helps, who encourages someone to give tzedakah gets the greatest cup? Like, I understand you arrange a fundraiser and you put together a whole thing and you're taking out your time, for the rest of the world, you're taking out your time and people are coming in, then I understand everything that you're doing. But if you go over to somebody and you're like, hey, you should give tzedakah, like, just make a comment like that, would that be considered?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think what Ochanan is pointing out is we just spoke with three approaches to Gadol HaMaaseh Ozmeos, to that Gemara and Daf Tess and Baba Basra, Reshmim Tess and Yer Desafei. So the truth is, the first two are both Ukim to Pshatim. Rechezkel Abramsky says it's about time versus money. It's only, so Ochanan pointed out that's talking about a situation where the fundraiser spent a lot of time. If I catch you at a simcha and say, hey, why don't you give tzedakah to this value? You're like, sure. I didn't spend much more time than you did. Right? So you're right. Rechezkel Abramsky is describing a situation where there's a whole enterprise, and I'm going to plan a fundraising event, or I'm making a lot of calls, I'm traveling to meet people who are in a position to give. Sometimes I'm really investing a lot of time. So you might be investing a lot of money, but I invested a lot of time. You're right. If I didn't, a situation which was casual, which was not time heavy, say Nachanami, then the Gemara wouldn't apply Lachorah. Certainly Mari Kurkus, as I said before, only applies in a situation where whether it took a lot of time or a little time, but it took pushing and shoving, and even by the time he's done, the fellow says, okay, fine, I'll give tzedakah, but he's not excited, whereas the Maasa obviously is. So that highlights the uniqueness of the Chachos Adam. Right? Chachos Adam, who said, well, the Osa took care of Levi, the Maaseh took care of Levi and Shimon, so that really doesn't vary based on the details. It doesn't matter how much time, it doesn't matter how much time the Maaseh spent, it doesn't matter what the attitude of the Osa is. Fundamentally, if you If the Oseh was actively looking for a chance to give, and she says, hey, you know, can you recommend a good tzedakah? If I says, sure, I think I would recommend this tzedakah. So there, in the Hanami, there even the Chacham Zazim would say, the Ma'asa wasn't Mezaka, the Oseh, he's not really a Ma'asa. But in a case where the Ma'asa means certainly, whether it means to be pushing or not, it definitely means to initiate. The Ma'asa means, I go over to you, you may be very happy to get tzedakah, but it wasn't really on your mind. I say, you know what, don't you want to tell you that, you know what, you're right. So there is a need, you could help take care of that need. Like, you know what? Great point. So even if the Osa is very willing, but it wouldn't have happened without the Ma'asa. When the Ma'asa was critical in making it, the person was a necessary broker. So a necessary broker is sort of the broadest definition of Ma'asa. That's what Chacham Zalman would say. As long as you were a necessary broker, sort of like it's a positive flip side to Lifnei Iver. One of the senses of Lifnei, this expression, and one of the senses of Lifnei Iver is where I enable you to do an Aver. I give you the wherewithal to do an Aver. You may have wanted to do the Aver, maybe a Jew, Rachman Tzlan, wanted to consume non-kosher food, but he doesn't have access to any, and I provide him non-kosher food. I provide a non-Jew with the Aver Menachaitit. I provide a Nazir with a glass of wine. So if I provide for your Aveira, so that's one of the senses of Lifnei Iver. So this is sort of the flip side. I gave you the opportunity to do the mitzvah. I gave the opportunity, the inspiration. So that's the broader. And that's what we want. And again, and it's the Chacham Adam's third approach, which is really sort of opening up an interesting perspective here. And thinking about how many different players are there in Staka and what their roles are. Yeah.
I don't understand the placement of this. Like halacha, it's not telling you like the aspects of how to go ahead and do tzedakah, and it's not like talking about the aspects of the mitzvah. Kind of thrown in there,
Why it's here?
Yeah, like,
well, it's this isn't right. You're saying it doesn't sound like a halacha. It's a statement about schar. So right, why is it a halachic work?
We don't usually talk about schar and like
right. No, that's true.
Application of
that's true. So I assume that there was some discussion of schar in the opening sim Reish Mem Zayin, but that's. And so also, that is an approach that Shulchan and Shulchan sometimes have. You're opening sim and you talk about the chashivas ha-mitzvah,
right.
And then you get into the dinim, right? But at this point, right, you're deep into the third simon. And so why are we talking about schar? So I think the answer is the lamaisa part is understand, we're about to, this is the transition into the shmona milas, right? And sifvav, you're also talking about how you do the mitzvah. So the transition is understand you can do the mitzvah by giving. You can also do the mitzvah by making it happen. Let's say I'm not a person with a lot of funds. So understand that there's more than one role you could play. You could be a donor and or you could be a fundraiser. Some people are both. A person who's a person who means donate, cares about, is passionate about a particular cause. So you give up your own funds, you also try to, you know, engage other people in that same cause, that same ani, that same organization, whatever it is. So this is very lamaisa. Now, you're right, it's not phrased, it's phrased in an unusual way for the Shulchan Aruch. And usually Shulchan Aruch is actionable. Do this, don't do that. If you're going to do X, do it in the following way. Okay, the normal way of phrasing this would have been to say, it's important to be ma'aser for tzedakah. Whether you can give or not, you should be ma'aser for tzedakah. He says it more poetically. He says it the way the Gemara says it, which is a statement about tzchar, but a statement about tzchar with obvious practical implications. If the ma'aser is golem and osa, then you should try to be a ma'aser whether or not you're an osa. But you're right. But the nafkamina is be ma'aser. It's important to be ma'aser. Yeah.
Is there a record to say that the one who initiates the action is doing the exact same thing as the one who does the...
If anything, Post can point out that it sounds like it's even greater. It's Gadol.
Well,
Gadol Mitzchar right now.
The third sheet that we presented is not that it's not that the actual not that the action of things we do a mitzvah is greater. It's the accumulative worth of that action plus getting someone do a mitzvah bechlal. I mean, his point is that it's two separate mitzvahs being combined: helping Levi and getting Reuben to help Levi.
Right, or is it greater fundamentally?
It sounds like
sounds like two separate things.
Right. So but the thing is, they don't deserve a quarter show that, that of this Gemara, that the getting someone to help someone else is at least as great as helping someone else.
Let's hold off. Let's hold on to the idea, and let's jump into the core yisoda, the mitzvah of tzedakah. Again, bearing in mind that we're putting two of the details of tzedakah, hilchos tzedakah, on the side. The tefillah tzedakah connection and the gadol hama'asa yosem min ha'osem. And let's turn our attention to some of the other issues in tzedakah that break it open, and let's actually begin with kfiya. And what we're going to talk about in the next couple of minutes is drawn several achronim discuss and debate the nature of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Rabbi Rosenzweig has a very beautiful article in Torah Shva Peh, the journal called Torah Shva Peh, probably 2-3 decades ago, published an article, Tzedakah Kechiv Kemitzvah. Different pieces of what he discusses already appear in different achronim. There's the Ktos and there's the Torah Zram. The different pieces in different places, he really pulls together a very broad view on the topic. In the Maamar Kalmos, so you saw that Tosus in Bava Basra, in Daf Chesna and Beis, in the Sukkot of Tzedakah, points out a steer in Gemaras. The Gemara in Chulin Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis has a rule about mitzvahs in general. The rule concerns coercion on mitzvahs. Beis Din is not only a post facto b'dieved adjudicator. Beis Din, in an ideal situation where the Jewish community has autonomy, ideally Beis Din is also law enforcement, not only punishing ex post facto, but making sure that people keep the halacha. That's what the Gemara says. The kofanah in general, kofanah mitzvahs. If a Jew is refusing to keep a certain mitzvah, say, they will come over, we'll have a conversation, and hopefully convince him, explain, convince, if need be, cajole. But if the conversation isn't working and the verbal cajoling isn't working, at some point, again, and this is not practical, and when you're part of a larger society such as the United States, but as recent as in medieval Europe, where Jews had semi-autonomous legal status, Beis Din will say, you're mechuyev to keep the din. And we explain, we discussed it with you, we explained to you, if you're not willing, so then kofanah mitzvahs. We're going to have to use physical pressure to ensure, to coerce you to keep the mitzvah. However, that's Mishnah's talk about that. However, there are exceptions. The Gemara in Chulin has a categorical exception. Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, says that whenever you have a mitzvah which is matan schara betzida, there's no kfiya. Whenever the Torah is up front about the schar for this mitzvah, matan schar b'tzida, so then there's no kfiya. Why is a good question? Perhaps because the Torah is already laid that there's other encouragement to do it, or perhaps because the implication is the only encouragement we'll give you is telling you what the schar is as opposed to kfiya. Be that as it may, that is the rule. That is the rule. Gemara and Chulin. Maybe we'll be learning that next, maybe we probably will be seeing that Gemara next year in Perek Kol Basar, the 8th Perek of Chulin. Tosus in Bava Basra and Chulin and elsewhere raise the problem. One second, but the psukim speak about the mata, the schar for tzedakah, and yet the Gemara in several places talks about kfiya on tzedakah. Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Chesna and Beis talks about that, and elsewhere there was organized tzedakah collection, and we would tell people what their tzedakah bill is, based on what the needs of the community are, based on how much, what were the different people's incomes. And the Gemara says, if a person wasn't willing to give tzedakah, the Beis Din would insist, the Beis Din would force. So which one is it? Ain kofan ala, you're not kofan a mitzvah shemat and schar b'tzida, but tzedakah is an exception. How come tzedakah is an exception? So Tosus says, Tosfos and Rebbeinu Tam says, you're really not kofan. Tzedakah is not an exception. Tzedakah is not an exception. You're not kofan a mitzvah shemat and tzchar b'tzida, and that includes tzedakah. Beis Din cannot physically coerce the giving of tzedakah. The Gemara says, Achbei Reb Nosson, He was kofa. That doesn't mean actual physical kfiyah. That just means verbal kfiyah. It just means they had tough conversations. And he insisted and insisted and insisted in talking to him until fellow agreed to give tzedakah. But not actual physical kfiyah. That's the approach of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Ri says, well, tzedakah is an exception, but sounds like maybe for technical reasons, tzedakah is an exception, though we could return to this. Tzedakah is an exception because it's not only a mitzvah saseh, it's a mitzvah lo saseh as well. Lo sikpo says, yadcha, lo sa'amitz says, levav, the Torah says, you're not allowed to not give tzedakah. Maybe that's once it's halav also. Okay. But then you look in the Ritvan Ksubis. Ritvan Ksubis is a fascinating line. Ritvan Ksubis says, raises this question. How come we're... Because the Gemara in Ksubis, Memtes, also talks about kfiyah and tzedakah. So Ritva says, what do you mean? It's matan schar b'tzida. So he says, that's other mitzvahs. Like kibud av eim. The Torah says, you get arichas yamim. So we're not going to be kofa physically on mitzvah of kibud av eim. It says, but tzedakah is different. Mipnei machsoram shel aniyim. Because of the needs of the aniyim. Because the aniyim are lacking. What does that mean? So that's why we are kofa. What does that mean? Because aniyim are lacking, so we're kofa. So you could say, well, lemaisa, we need the money. We need it right here and right now. There are people who don't have food. There are people who don't have clothing. There are people who aren't able to cover their health costs, aren't able to cover their mortgage, aren't able to cover rent, what have you. We need the money. We need the money now. You could just read it sort of being a practical line. Or you might understand that the Ritva is saying something more profound. The word machzor you recognize from where? Machzorim shalanim. Where did Ritva get that language from? De machzorim. Right? That's a definition in the midst of tzedakah. So it could be, and Rabbi Rosenzweig makes the suggestion that what the Ritva is driving at is this mitzvah is not just I have a chiyuv to do X. If it's a typical chovas maisa, I have a chiyuv to do X. Okay, so I'm supposed to do X, and in general, kofen al mitzvah. I'm not doing the maisa mechuyuv to do it. That'll be kofen. But if it's what's it called? If it's a matan schar betzida, so there's already enough going for my maisa. We're not kofen that maisa. What the Ritva might be saying is, tzedakah is fundamentally different. Tzedakah isn't just I have a chiyuv maisa. The nosein has to do a masa of nesina tzedakah. It's about the receiving end. It's a mitzvah to take care of him. It's a chovas matzav. He has a need, and I have a mitzvah to speak to that need, to respond, to address, and resolve that need. Going back to the very first din we learned, if I'm in a position to fully cover the ani's need, the ideal shear of tzedakah is de machzara. So what the Ritva is saying, l'chora, is that's a fundamental statement about the nature of the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's not a chi of maisa as much as a chi of totzah. I have a chi to solve that problem. There's a machzor that I'm supposed to fill. Look, I can't always fill it fully. Okay, maybe I'm not in a position to give. Even if I have enough money to cover that need, but I want a budget for other needs also. I don't have... My tzedakah budget isn't so large that I can cover this need fully and take care of other things as well. Okay. So maybe I'm not fully covering day machsoro, but the Ritva sounds like he's saying is even when I give part, but I'm doing a little bit of day machsoro. Because the mitzvah for Ritva fundamentally is machsoro. If not day machsoro, then not enough is machsoro, some of it is machsoro. But I'm resolving in fully or in part his machsoro. As opposed to saying that I have a mitzvah to give. Rabbi Tam would say, no, this is the same as any other mitzvah. Now to think about this mitzvah of tzedakah as being either I have a chi of maisa, it's the no sin's chi of maisa, or I have a chiv to take care of the ani's machzor, that's already an interesting formulation. Chiv maisa, chiv totza. Is a chiv on me or chiv to take care of him? It could express itself, you could think about that also in terms of which area of halacha is it? Is it Ben Adam La Makam or Ben Adam La Chaveiro? In other words, let's unpack a little bit. What does it mean it's my chi of Maisa versus chi to take care? Which one would you have guessed? I think normally we would have guessed, of course, in mitzvah staka, here's an ani who needs, I have to give, I have to take care of him, fully, partially. Right? So the ritva's approach is very, is probably the default approach. To say, and yet, let's say you find, in the world of Suffolk, so there's a big debate that Rishonim have. I put in my makom the Shuvas HaRashba, the other Rishonim get involved, and the Ramban Rashba, then there's a Ran, a lot of Rishonim get involved. What's the status of Suffolk Staka? Suffolk Mammon Anim. Now, usually Suffolk Mammon, we say, I'm not sure whether I have money, which maybe belongs to you, so often we'll say, Safik Mamun Laka, Hamotzi Mechaver of Haraya. I have the money, it may be mine, it may be yours. Usually we say, you know, it's going to be mine until proven yours. That's a basic rule of Dini Mamunis. Whereas in the world of Isur Heter, we would say, if it's a Din Daraisa, Safik Daraisa L'chumra. Which rule prevails by Tztaka? Do we look at it as an issue of Mamun or as an issue of Isur? So that's a big Machlokas Rishon. Do we say it's Mamun? I'm not sure this mine's stuck or not, so I keep it. Hamotza mechaver al haraya. The ani would have to prove that it's his. And that's the approach that the Shuvas Rashba takes. The other Rishonim say, no, it's a safek iser. Sveka d'iser l'chumra. Sveka d'raisa l'chumra. Now that's fascinating. I mean, is it iser or is it mammon? Is it iser or is it mammon? Is another way of saying, is it b'dam la Makam, or is it Ben Adam La Chaveiro? Now, I would have assumed, of course it's Ben Adam La Chaveiro. And in which case, if it's Ben Adam La Chaveiro, then presumably it's Safik Mamun Lahaka, Hamatz Mechaveiro Mariah. Say Sveika Dreisel Lachumra, that's in the world of Isra Veheter, right, Rosemary points out this also comes up in the world of Brachos. Why is there no bracha on tzedakah? So some reason that why do many mitzvahs not have brachas is a large discussion that the Shuvas HaRashba quotes a letter that Rav Shimon Palat wrote to the Ravid, Abu Dram has a long discussion about this. Rabbi Noach in the last paragraph of the Rambam himself brachas has a long discussion about this. The Rambam himself there has a very short discussion about this. There's a lot of literature about which mitzvahs require brachas, which not, and why. What's how do you explain? Gemara says Shmuel said kol mitzvahs kulam varchin over lasiyasan. All sounds like all mitzvahs you make a bracha before the ma'aseh mitzvah, and yet there are so many exceptions. There's a lot of literature we show me about that. One of the big principles that one of the major criteria that's often raised by a number of the Rishonim who discuss this issue is you only make a bracha on a mitzvah shebet adam l'makom. It involves other people. There's no bracha. It's a very important mitzvah, no bracha. Different Rishonim, different ways of formulating it, but more or less, it seems to boil down to the only brachas on Ben Adam La Makam. So a number of Rishonim, and you still hear the Shuvas HaRashba, and probably the Abu Dram, and the Shuvas HaRashba also, so yeah, that's why there's no bracha on Staka. And Rosenzweig, though, quotes Or Zeruah, ignores this, and says there's no bracha on staka. He has like a totally, it seems like a totally incidental reason. Sanhedrin. I don't have it in front of me. Ah, here it is. He quotes a or Zeruah, Chelet Avsin Kuf Mem, says, he'll make a bracha because it's a mitzvah she'ein zmana kavua. Now, it's fascinating in its own right. The mitzvah she'ein zmana kavua doesn't get a bracha. You got to think about that principle. Right. Birkas HaTorah. Now, you could argue, no, Birkas HaTorah, you have a chiv every day. Like Yisrael Yom V'layla. Stuff you're not mechiv to give tzedakah every day. I'm mechiv to give tzedakah over time. Right? We spoke about Shlishah shekel per year. And I'm mechiv to give tzedakah when an ani presents himself. I'm not mechiv to give tzedakah necessarily on a time bound. There's no calendaric schedule. If aniyim, when aniyim come, which may be frequent or infrequent depending on where and when they live. Now, but what's intriguing is that Arzarua avoids saying, well, it's a piyam lachaveiro. So it seems like Arzarua is lining up in the world of bracha with this notion that it's not a b'nam l'chadero. It's maybe it's fundamentally a b'nam l'makam. So again, we're seeing this idea in the world of kfiyah. This shaila, is it a mitzvah for no sin to do, or a mitzvah to take care of the ani, machzar, which seems to correspond again to b'nam l'makam b'nam l'chadero, iser mamon. We're seeing it by kfiyah. We're seeing it by safek. We're seeing it by bracha. There are some other nafkaminas also in the Ma'amar Kovetz. I put in a discussion about mechila. Seems like a machlokas Rambam and Tur versus Ram. To what extent is mechila relevant concept by tzedakah? And I would add also the long ketzos. I think he talks about it more than one place, but there's a particularly long ketzos Simon Reish Tzadi about the debate in Rishonim. Is there shibud nechasim on tzedakah? I have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. If I owe you money because I borrowed money from you, so often if it's a loan that is executed with a document, if it's a milvah b'shtar, so not only do I personally owe you money, but if I run out of cash, you can go after my assets. Even if I already sold my real estate away, or if the lova passes away, you can go knock on the buyer's door, you go knock on the Yisomim's door, and you can retrieve the karka that had belonged to the borrower. Why? Because it's a shibud nechasim. In addition to the personal obligation to pay, there was a lien on the property. Is there a shibud nechasim on staka? Fascinating idea. I earn money, and if I earn money, I have a chiv to give staka, and particularly, again, my suksafim per se is that we seem to hold as a minhag rather than a din d'oraisa din d'rabbanan. But let's say you live in a town where there's an organized tzedakah collection, the Beis Din runs it, and they figure out what the needs are, they look at what the incomes are, and they give you a tzedakah bill. And you didn't pay. Can they go after your assets you already sold away? You owe tzedakah, you didn't give tzedakah. No, Gemara says, person doesn't give tzedakah, that can sometimes lead to him becoming less financially sound. A couple years later, he still hasn't paid tzedakah bills, and now he doesn't have cash left. He had to sell away his assets. So do we now go after the assets? Or the person passed away. We're going to go to the Yisomim. Is there shibud nechasim on tzedakah? So that is perhaps the greatest expression of what? Of seeing it as mammon. I owe money. It's like it's someone else's. I have a chiyuv to the aniyim. It's a very powerful expression of tzedakah, as it is, in a sense, almost an extreme expression, the most vigorous expression of tzedakah as a chiyuv ben al-lachaver, as a chiyuv to someone else. So we're seeing for all these areas, kfiyah, shibud, bracha, safek, mechila, there's more also. The Torah Zeruah and Rav Le Pomeranchuk in his Torah Zeruah on Peah, the end of Perek Dalet, and Rabbi Rosenwald in his article both talk about Yad, and some other nafkaminas as well. But suffice to say, what we're seeing is a fascinating picture. Two ways of looking at the mitzvah tzedakah. It seems like the Rishonim on a variety of issues are lining up on these two sides. Is it basically a Bein Adam La Makom, I have a chiyuv to give? Or is it basically Bein Adam La Chaver, I have a chiyuv to take care of his needs? Now the question that still burns, though, is, well, what do you mean? I understand. We could formulate to tzedakah. What's the hesber? I understand what it means to say that's a be'am l'chavero. It's a chiyuv to take. It's a chiyuv matzav. Chiyuv chalos. I have to take care of his need. I have to fill his machzor. The Ritva's formulation is very satisfying. Now, not lundus, but there's a hesber to that lundus. But how do you say it's be'am l'makam? Be'am l'makam? The chiyuv nesina? What do you mean? It's tzedakah. I'm taking care of people. Isn't that pasha?
Didn't we see the core house, the color house, how God gave it to you to someone else?
Oh, gewaldic. Gewaldic. So the Sefer HaChinuch, and this I think ties everything together. Sefer HaChinuch, and you know, this is why I point to Sefer HaChinuch at the end, and in the Chumash Devarim, the Parsha of Re'eh, the mitzvah of tzedakah, the truth is it already appears to an extent earlier in Mishpatim. The first time we talk about tzedakah in the context of lending, in Kesef Tal Ve'Ezami. So Chinuch already begins to talk about it as being tzedakah helps the nosing. Tzedakah helps the nosing. Now that's true in two senses. When we spoke at the beginning, tzedakah helps the nosing, that's what the Chinuch stresses over there in Mishpatim. Tzedakah helps the nosing, it makes you a giving person. It makes you a giving person. It'll shape me. And the Rambam, and we discussed in Pirkei Avos, HaKol Tirov HaMasa, if I engage in more acts of giving, so Adam Nifel, Kefi Pu'ulosav, more acts of giving, even if it's smaller amounts each time, will shape me more. The Zechinov talks about that extensively in Mishpatim. He even says, fascinating formulation, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken care of the Ani directly. He gave me, if I'm a nosing, he gave me the gift of the opportunity to take care of someone. Fascinating idea. There's another level, which I believe the Chinuch discusses elsewhere, or maybe even earlier in that mitzvah. This is mitzvah Samach Vav. There's another element which appears does not appear in Samach Vav, but the other element of how tzedakah impacts the nosin appears in several other places in the Chinuch and Mishpatim, and that is it reminds me that the money isn't really mine. That's what you were saying before. In addition to tzedakah being an opportunity for the nosin to become a sensitive person, it's a lesson in bitachon. It's a lesson in emunah. It reminds me, I earned the money. Why do I have to give it away? So if I feel bad, I'll help him out. But I don't want him. I earned the money. It's my money. What do you mean? I have to give tzedakah to him. It's my money. Well, we can do a deal. We can negotiate. Why do I have to give? So the notion that you have to give, and this is the idea that comes up in a number of places. Like you worked so hard for your produce, and then you're giving away rachis. Rachis as bikurim, rachis as true. What's that? Give away the first. The answer is, you could fall into the illusion of kochivotzim yadi asa sachayel hazeh. I could fall into the illusion of thinking, I worked and I created this wealth. It's not true. Kadosh Baruch Hu created this wealth. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me the opportunity to be a junior partner with him in creating my destiny through my hishadlus. But it's a dangerous falsehood to think that I'm the sole master of my own destiny. Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. Tzedakah, the mitzvah of rachis in general, and tzedakah in particular, is a very powerful tool to instill that emunah in me. Because it reminds me, ultimately, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mine. And we discussed, it came up earlier when we spoke about how you can, the details of how you calculate an earlier chabura. I think it was in the previous chabura. How you calculate Maaser Ksafim. So we saw some posts came out this idea of thinking of Maaser Ksafim as a partner, like a 10% partner. Tzedakah as a 10% partner in your business. Now that's why, you know, gains and losses and expenses, everything is shared with a partner. Now that's why you don't have to give, you can deduct business expenses, because if I had a 10% partner, he would pay 10% of the expenses. Right? And that notion of Dine Weiss and others, I think Aruch HaShulchan spoke, if I remember correctly, spoke in those terms. That speaks very much, that sort of gives halachic expression to this concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the senior partner. It's not just me. That, l'chora, is what we mean. That's a pnimius of what we mean when we say that's a mitzvah ben adam l'makom. It's been a mitzvah ben adam l'makom, yes, a mitzvah of midos to shape who I am. It's a mitzvah ben adam l'makom because giving stuck is a powerful act of emunah. Giving stuck is an act of bitachon. It's a physical expression that I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Just like Shabbos is a physical expression that I step away from work because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. Leaving work, hayitachin? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take off and it'll be okay. I'm going to take off and it'll be okay. Staka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not only do I take off 14% of my work time, I take off 10% of my earnings. That's very powerful. And then we begin to understand that's what Chor is the Hezber for this first side. But El Mamakom, the mitzvah of Nesina, it's Isser Veheter as opposed to Dini Mavanis, because, of course there's an element of taking care of Aniyim, but that's not all that it is. There's also a very significant element of Emuna. It's Ani's need, it's a Machzor Shal Ani, but it's a mitzvah of Emuna. It's like a secret Yis Mitzrayim, it's like eating matzah, giving staka as a mitzvah of Emuna. And then Rabosa, I would say, let's take it back to where we began. The second issue we had dealt with, the ma'asa and the osa, we had seen three approaches, the chachuzad in particular, the broadest approach, that the ma'asa is greater because he's helping two people. So that very much focuses, l'chora, on the giving aspect, the giving for others. But let's go back to the very beginning. The first issue we had spoken was tefillah and stuck. Ma kesher b'nehem. There are a lot of mitzvahs you could do before you daven. A lot of mitzvahs you could do after you give tzedakah. Right? What's the specific connection between tzedakah and tefillah? But now, it's gorgeous. With the insight of the Sefer HaChinuch, powering as the philosophy behind the approach that tzad and the chakira, that stuck is primarily, Yisra Hetz is primarily Ben Adam Lamakam, because it's an expression of Emuna. Oh, then beautiful. So then, of course, so then that's the perfect introduction to Tefillah. And much as we showed and explained, the Gemara in Bracha talks about Smichas Gula Tefillah, right? They discuss Kriya Shema and Tefillah have to be next to each other. Why? Is it the Kriya Shema is enhancing the Tefillah, or the Tefillah is enhancing the Kriya Shema? But they clearly there's a thematic connection. Kriya Shema is an abstract expression that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and if that's the case, then it makes sense to turn to him and ask him for things. Right? So I can either see the Tefillah as a theological introduction, remind myself of the Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire universe. Ah! Then with that end in mind, I'm ready to turn to him in Tefillah. Or you could say Tefillah is like an expression of nafkamina in Kriya Shema. If you really believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, that he's the force behind the entire world, then you would turn to him for everything. And so the Tefillah, you could see the Tefillah as an post facto expression of my Emunah. Two ways of thinking about it. But either way, Tefillah is rooted in Emunah. One way to express Emunah is through verbalizing it, Kriya Shema. Another way to express Emunah is through literally putting your money where your mouth is. You believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give tzedakah. Because if I really believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is managing and guiding my life, if I really believe that Mizanov Social Adam Kitsuvun Lom Hashashana Vashashana, so then it's entirely logical to say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that part of the money he gave me is meant for someone else. So tzedakah is an expression, this is all matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a pikada, to be used as he sees fit. Some of it's for me to use for my own needs, my own mitzvahs, and some of it's to take care of other people. So this what seemed at first like a little detail, it's not even a halachic requirement, tov. Shulchan Aruch says, it's a good idea to give tzedakah in advance of tefillah. The truth is, that cuts to the heart of the hidden facet of tzedakah. That tzedakah is not only machzor and shalaniyim, but it's an expression of of emuna, the emuna, which by the way is expressed in the pasuk, l'chashem agdula gvura tferes hanes v'hod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire universe. It's, that pasuk speaks to chesed in particular, gedula is a reference to chesed according to Mekubalim. But it also expresses the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire universe, which is why the minhag developed that the pre-tefillah tzedakah should ideally be specifically in conjunction with that pasuk. Sh'ol b'zoche to always be min anosnim, and we should all be zoche to have all these aspects of nesina, to be deeply attuned to the needs of others and to successfully help people move forward and to be shaped by that in terms of midos, and to be, and that our emuna be constantly refreshed and reinvigorated and grow through acts of tzedakah from month to month, from year to year, from decade to decade.